Good morning. Welcome, all of you. Nice to see so many folks come out this morning to honor Susie and her family, and we're glad you're here. My name's Rex, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. I knew that there would be a good representation of the 12-step groups here this morning. And I want to point out that none of you got struck by lightning when you walked in. So I want you to file that away. And to you and to all of our visitors this morning, if you take a minute and read our welcome sign on the door outside before you leave today. And it's clear, it explains clearly that we're all broken people here, that we all need God in our lives, that we're all in desperate need of the grace and mercy that only comes from a loving God. So I'm glad you're here. Welcome. I want to explain that I walked through the doors of this church clean and sober in June of 1989. I was, let's see, what's a nice way to put that? I was spiritually, monetarily, morally, physically bankrupt. I'm still physically bankrupt, and now I'm a little mentally bankrupt as well after being on staff here all these years. But I have seen and experienced some rather remarkable things here through the years, some amazing things, really. And you'll see some of those this morning as we spend our time celebrating Susie's life. And through those years, one of the things that really defied common sense was being appointed as one of the pastors of this church family. My wife still is convinced that the election was fixed, and we've been hearing a lot of that lately. But being an alcoholic pastor is exactly how God blessed me with this woman. And what a blessing that was. Early in Susie's sobriety, God led her into overcomers. And two things were clear to me right from the start. She was a force to be reckoned with, and you didn't want to piss her off. I'm sure that's a biblical term, so I don't want to hear any comments about that afterwards. She was honest, open, transparent, unashamed, certainly, and willing to, and anxious to share her testimony with anybody. And of course, none of us could know then how that testimony would unfold in the years to come. Overcomers Outreach has been, has been an active ministry here for 28 years. 28 years in February, so it's been quite a while. We are a Christian 12-step group. We're designed to provide a place for those of us who believe that our higher power is Jesus Christ. And so we can meet together in his name and deal with the problems of compulsive behavior. OO serves as a bridge between the 12-step groups and the church. The Serenity Prayer that I'm in some form or another all of us are familiar with, but the one that we open up and recite our meetings in all the 12-step groups is only the first three lines, as a matter of fact, of the original Serenity Prayer that was written almost 100 years ago and was adopted in that shorter version by Alcoholics Anonymous back in the 1940s. And I would like to open with the original prayer this morning. And if you know it or even part of it, feel free to join right in. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. And trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. This past week, I've thought of some great stories to share with you about Susie. And frankly, I've just assumed through the years, when I think back on these, that these were stories that I would be taking to my grave. And you know, and some of you are thinking, well, geez, Rex, go ahead, let's hear them. Susie's gone. God rest her soul. And so now, you're safe, big guy. Feel free. Let it out. Do all of you know Lisa? Susie's twin sister. Yeah. It wasn't Susie that I was most afraid of. But so here's one I think I can get away with. We have a New Year's tradition in Overcomers. Instead of a New Year's resolution, which lasts about as long as it takes the words to cross your lips, we adopt a scripture for the year, something that we can claim and try to apply to our lives on a daily basis through the coming year. And I think it might have been Susie's first year in Overcomers, and she picked 2 Corinthians 4:13, which basically says, "I believe, therefore I speak." And at some point during that year, I happened to be at the same AA meeting at Tulac with Susie, and the topic was your higher power. And sweet little Susie was called on to share. And when she had finished, the secretary felt the need to tell her, "You can't talk about Jesus in these meetings." Now, I did what most of years ago, I sort of made this deal with God when I'm at an AA meeting. I would sit there thinking about what I'm going to talk about if they call my name. So I just made this deal. I don't go there. God will give me the words if he puts me in a position to have to say something. So I did what all of you do at a 12-step meeting. I'm sitting there daydreaming because I'm not worried about being called on. So it's kind of like in this instant, all of these thoughts running together because I thought I heard that guy tell Susie she couldn't do something. And so then I'm thinking, well, no, that can't be. No sane person would go there. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm trying to replay the last words back in my head. And at the same time, I'm watching people around me. And there was one woman that actually made the comment about, "Well, you can't tell her that." And then there are others that are kind of leaning forward in their chair in anticipation of what's about to happen. And I remember thinking to myself, "Well, you poor fool, you have no idea what you've just done." Now, to the point of honesty, I got to tell you, those weren't the words I thought, but the idea was that you've gone to a place where clearly you shouldn't have gone. So I was sitting in some chairs, some comfortable chairs along the side wall, so I picked up my coffee and I sat back in the chair and I just waited patiently for the butt kicking to commence. And it was not a disappointment. And I remember her sharing at some point with this poor fool that this book, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, came from this book. This is the Word of God. So I've got an alcoholic here back in the 1940s that stole the words of God and put them in a book. And it is a great, don't get me wrong, this is a great guidelines and direction in the lives of anybody in recovery. But the words did come out of here, and that was Susie's point. So she explained to him, I remember talking about how he needs to remember that we open every meeting with God, grant me the serenity. And we close every meeting with our Father who art in heaven. And her point was, frankly, what she says in between is none of his business. She didn't invite him outside, so I thought oh my, the memories that we have. And Susie's touched so many lives, and all of us have memories about that. And it's interesting how things that can happen that leave such a lasting impact on our lives. So I want you to think about where you were on Tuesday morning, October 25th, 2005. That was one of those days for a lot of us. I was at a pastor's meeting at a cabin that we go to down in Woodford's. And we go down there several times a year. This was the budget meeting. Is why we're down there. We go down there for a couple of reasons. One is there's no telephones down there. There's no landline. And in 2005, we would have to drive back to Myers to get a cell signal. And And so we go there for those reasons. Plus, it's important when our pastors get together to talk about the budget that nobody overhears the language that we use and some of the names we call each other. So there was a couple of things that we were accomplishing down there. And then one of what would be many miracles in my experience with Susie through this walk, my cell phone rang. I figured one of the other guys had figured out a way to mess with me. And then I'm thinking, well, not that smart. So I it continued to ring. It didn't make sense. It wasn't registering. But I answered it, and the call had come through. And God did send a call through to me. And it was about Susie and about the attack, and Susie was in trouble. Barton didn't think she was going to make it to Reno. And when I got to Reno, Reno didn't think she was going to make it through the night, or the next night, or the next night. And I remember that first night about 3 or 4 in the morning when that surgeon came in from the surgery, telling the family that Susie was still with us. And I remember this doctor making a comment about how there was no medical reason for that, that it didn't make sense in her condition, didn't understand why Susie was still with us. We understood why Susie was still with us. And before every surgery, we would pray. And after every surgery, we would thank God. And then we'd pray for the next one because they didn't stop. So they kept coming. We kept praying. Finally, 2 months later, Lisa was finally able to bring Susie home. And then this long process of healing started. She continued to heal. We just kept on praying. You know, the memory of how she was loved and supported and encouraged every minute of every day by her family, her friends, her church, by a community that was determined to see this woman and her young daughter succeed in their recovery. But even while being surrounded by all this love, there was a problem. You see, Susie was lonely and scared. I actually prayed with her once. And this is interesting because it came up again just a few years ago. But I prayed with her once specifically that God would bring this brave knight on a white horse into her life. And he's carrying a shield in one arm, and he sweeps her off her feet to protect her and love her in harmony. And you know, and this is like a, if you get this picture, it's like a round table sort of guy. Not the pizza guy, but the King Arthur guy. And she got a good laugh out of that. I remember that. But I also remember thinking, but why not? God's answered all the prayers all along. And there was some pretty difficult prayers to make and some pretty remarkable, amazing answers that God gave us. So why not pray that seriously and directly to God? And you all know what happened. God sent her Sir Shannon. Really. Is Travis here someplace? Because I think Sir Shannon would look really good on his locker down at the station. So file that away. Ex-Navy. You know, and when we were praying, we weren't playing for like Prince Charming. You know, that's not what the mindset was. No, we wanted a knight. And so here comes Sir Shannon. Ex-Navy, he didn't own a horse, but he did ride a Harley. And of course, he didn't walk around carrying a shield, but there was one painted on the side of his police car. And in it was the words protect and serve. What an awesome God we have. And so then God did some real special work. He made two hearts into one. And then they rode off into the sunset. Literally, that ride took them to Gardnerville, to a new church family. And they grew to love them as much as we did. And so this is an opportunity for some of us here this morning to let go of this resentment. Worst enemy of an alcoholic is to carry this resentment. We are so blessed and so grateful that so many of you folks from Life Point Church have come up here this morning, and particularly grateful that so many of the ladies put together the dessert buffet back there. Thank you. We're really excited about that. But thank you for bringing these people in that we love so much and making them a part of your family. Pastor Roy Conover, one of the folks down there that came up to be a part of this service today, and he developed a special relationship with Susie and Harmony, especially. Well, Shannon maybe someplace along the way, but my guess is mostly it was Susie and Shannon. And he's going to share with us about that this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Rex. And to those of you who attend here at Sierra, I do apologize for LifePoint having stolen the Laneys away from you. Mostly, it's been to our benefit, and we appreciate it. And what we also have in common with you is that we have been doing recovery at our church. It's called STEP, and we've been doing that for the past 18 years. So we very much have a connection and kindred spirit here with this place. God bless you all for the work you're doing. And I, too, am a twin, and so my heart goes out to you, Lisa, and to the rest of the family. Well, Susie Patricia Laney, age 49, passed away peacefully at home on September 12th, 2017, surrounded by her family after a two-year battle with cancer. Susie was born November 24th, 1967, with her surviving twin sister, Lisa Watson, of South Lake Tahoe, California, to Paul Watson of Gardnerville, Nevada, and Beverly Pinkley, who is deceased. Susie worked as an assistant to Rick and Randy Pelcher of Gardnerville, appraisers, and for the past 8 years, she worked as the office manager for Scott Southard, MD. And I'm a patient of his, and I got to see her when I would go in when she was there. She was a devoted wife, loving mother, giving sister, and dedicated friend. She was an active member of Life Point Church in Minden, Nevada, and Sierra Community Church in South Lake Tahoe, California. Susie gave of herself to the In Jesus' Name Medical Ministry and Overcomers Outreach. She was a grateful, recovering addict and shared the gospel with everyone that she met. Her favorite thing to do was to be on the lake in the sun with her family and watching her daughter play sports. Susie is survived by her children, Austin Robinson and Harmony Laney, her husband, Shannon Laney, and his two children, Brittany Laney and Brandon Laney, her twin sister, Lisa Watson, and sisters, Donna Allard and Diane Watson, her brother, Daniel Watson, her father, Paul Watson, and her stepmother, Vivian Watson. She also had many in-laws, cousins, nieces, and nephews. Susie was preceded in death by her mother, Beverly Pinkley, her brother, Michael Watson, and her daughter, Sierra Lisa Watson Barkus. Today, we celebrate the amazing woman that Susie was. And I realize, even as I say that, that some of you may have an internal that happens when I use the word celebrate, because today is also a hard day. Today's the day we put a stake in the ground, and the family has to come to grips with the fact that moving here forward, they are without her. And that's difficult. And so when we encounter these moments, no offense to Susie, because she wanted today to be a celebration, but I need to give us some permission today. Permission to grieve. Permission to acknowledge that we're sad, because grief occurs on a spectrum, actually. We may be surprised by this. It does include laughter and joy because we remember the memories that we have with Susie. But it is also deep sadness and tears, gut-wrenching moments, and everything in between. So this morning, I simply want to give us permission. Whatever you need to do, let the tears flow. Susie will forgive you. It's okay. But it's okay also to laugh and smile and remember her and celebrate her life, because we have much to celebrate. Susie was an incredibly hard worker and with a work ethic that not many could match. She absolutely loved working with Dr. Southard, and she was loved by everyone who met her. She poured her life into helping others through her recovery and bringing overcomers to both the Douglas and the El Dorado jails. Susie was grateful for her sobriety, and she lived it out loud. And one of Susie's favorite Bible passages is Psalm 116, and it's in your program there, and I want to read it for us. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. I believed in you, so I said, I am deeply troubled, Lord. In my anxiety, I cried out to you. These people are all liars. What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will keep my promise to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. O Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant. Born into your household, you have freed me from my chains. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the house of the Lord, in the heart of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This passage wasn't just words for Susie. It was real. It was true because she had experienced it. She had called out to God in the most horrific moment of her life and asked him to save her and her daughter Harmony. And whether you're familiar with that full story or not, as Pastor Rex was mentioning, that life-altering moment, I couldn't actually do it justice to try and describe it to you, even though I got an upfront seat to listen to Susie and Harmony talk about it. Back in 2014, I interviewed Susie and Harmony over a Thanksgiving weekend because we were talking about being grateful. And she was excited out of her mind and scared out of her mind to be able to do it for our church. And rather than me try to describe it to you, I thought it would be far better for you to hear it in their own words. So let's watch this together.
My name is Susie Laney, and this is my daughter, Harmony Laney. And this is our story of tragedy, forgiveness, and how God healed us. On October 25th, my daughter and I were getting ready for daycare and school. Well, daycare for her and work for me. And we got a knock on the door, and it was her natural father. He knocked on the door and wanted his daughter. And he was dressed in a robe with a sheath with a sword, and he wanted his daughter. And I was able to lock the door and grab the phone and dial 911. Harmony was yelling for her father, Daddy, Daddy. And naturally, I grabbed her, and we ran, got the phone, ran in the back room and dialed 911. As I put her on her bed and I sat there talking to the 911 operator, he busted down the door and was able to get into the home, into the room that Harmony and I were in. And he proceeded to attack me with a two-edged sword, a big 2-3-foot sword. And my daughter was 4 years old at the time, and she witnessed it all as it unfolded. He slashed and screamed at me and wanted me to die. And I ended up on the, well, he slashed me and cut my hand off pretty much closely. And so I was just fighting for my life and kicking. And he stabbed me and he slashed and he cut my knee in half to where I couldn't stand anymore and I hit the floor. And so I was just fighting for my life. And I was, you know, screaming, actually, help me, help me. And I was, you know, screaming, Lord, save me, Lord, help me. He grabbed Harmony and stood Harmony next to me and told her, actually, he kicked me over and told her to hug me goodbye and that I was his, I was evil and to say goodbye to me. And so she hugged me. And then she got off of me and he had her hold onto the sword over the top of me. And he said, this is your evil mother and we're going to cut her heart out. And at that time, this was being all recorded by 911. And at that time, a police officer walked in the door in that instant.
Things that go through my mind is I totally remember saying goodbye and laying on her. And then I actually do remember the police officer walking in.
When the police officer came in, he dropped the sword and the police officer was able to grab him and do what they do with him. And I just laid there and I was just, I said to everyone there, am I going to die? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And they're like, no, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. And I remember all that, but amazing, amazing things came out of this. I spent 58 days in the hospital separated from my daughter. Just the recovery aspect of hand therapy and just therapy in general. And, you know, it's painful. It's a very painful experience. And, you know, for Harmony, it was really hard on me because Harmony loved this man. It was her father. And so she, like that day, we both went through this horrific thing, but we both have, we were both affected differently. You know, I truly believe that, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I was 3.5 years sober when this happened, and I truly believe that God saved me from the grips of addiction to be able to survive. I don't think I would have had the will to live or knew God at that day. And just so many things led up to that particular horrific day that God was preparing me, I believe, for all of this. Of course, Harmony at 4 missed him and loved him, and I couldn't fix that for her, and it was really hard. But as time went on, God spoke to me, and he wanted me to forgive him, and I wanted to forgive him. And for me to be a good parent and a good mother and to teach my daughter, how to deal with the hard issues and life issues, and I had to model that for her. So to forgive him, I kind of had to, at first, fake it till you make it and just get through and let Harmony form her own opinion of this person, let her grieve the way she needed to grieve. And that was the process, and it wasn't always easy. But ultimately, I've been forgiven much, so I need to forgive him, and that's what I've done. I've forgiven him for what he's done.
The process of forgiving him was 1 year. I was at a Christian camp, and I was, I think, 7, and I felt one day that I needed to forgive him because he deserved a second chance. So I forgave him that day, and I still remember it, like, picture perfect. I really disliked him because of what he did, and it really wrecked up our family. But he also was human, and he sinned, and God forgives us, so I need to forgive him. March 30th, 2012. Dear Steve, I have great news. I just got baptized on March 18th. Being baptized is showing an inward commitment through an outward expression. I also made a Bible club in my school. My friends come to it. I miss you. But I never did understand why you hurt my mom. If I had one wish, I wish her hands were healed. It hurt me and my family a lot. I hope that you have a good Easter. And do you know what Easter really means? If you don't, it means that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, like you hurting mama. He took all of it away from us. So you are forgiven by me and Jesus. I love you and I miss you.
I'm grateful that she got to this place on her own. I didn't encourage her to forgive him or to hate him. We're talking, this is 8 years of just letting her come to this place in her life. I'm truly grateful for my life and being able to be here and be a mother to my daughter. But, you know, a couple years after this happened, well, longer than that, I would pray for God to send us someone to protect us. And he sent me a police sergeant and a wonderful man, Christian man. He's really just made a huge impact on our life, and I feel safe. He's adopted Harmony. We terminated her dad's parental rights.
He's awesome. I love him. I'm grateful that my mom's here today because I honestly don't know what I would do without her. I'm grateful for all the people that worked on that day. Because if one little thing would have gone wrong, she would be here.
You probably noticed in one of those slides her recovered hand that had the imprint of a cross from where the stitches were. And that was a constant reminder to her that God had saved her life that day. And I don't know if you heard at the end of that video Harmony's words. She said, "I don't know what I'd do without her." Incredibly difficult words that she is now having to face. Fortunately, she doesn't have to face them alone. But I believe this video that you just saw, and Susie's own words, and Psalm 116 paint in broad brushstrokes the picture of one of the most courageous women I've ever met. A woman who stared down death to protect her daughter, calling out to her God to save her so she could keep walking in the land of the living. And Susie did just that until God called her home. One of Susie's greatest fears was that she didn't want to be forgotten. And one of the gifts we receive in celebrating her life today is the gift of legacy. We get to take the very best of Susie's life and we get to make it part of our own, because that's what a legacy is. And that's how we keep her alive in our hearts, but also in the reality of who we are and who we want to be. Just as she was courageous, we can be courageous. We can be advocates. We can live our sobriety out loud. We can love others well. We can keep fighting for those that we love. We can tell others about Jesus. We can never give up. We can keep calling out to God as long as we have breath. This is Susie's legacy to us. May we never forget. I want to ask Harmony now to come and to share with us. Thank you.
Oh, a big room. All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Harmony. I'm sure you all either. I'm sure you all either know me or recognize me from my mom's many, many Facebook posts. So many. Writing something like this was very hard for me to do, so please be gracious. People often say that death brings new life, and in a sense, it does. Death may not bring new life to everyone my mom left here on earth, including me, but I believe it has begun a new life for her. Life is very precious and short, but I know my mom always took advantage of it. For my 16 years with my mom, she taught me so many things. And if I were to tell you all of them, we would be here forever. My mom taught me three things that will always be with me. One, to never give up and always believe in yourself. Two, to be kind and giving of yourself to anyone in need. And last but not least, your mama is always right. My mom was an amazing example of selflessness. She would give anybody whatever they needed. Whether it was her time, her advice, her money, a place to go, you name it, she did it. And her actions have taught me so much. I know gathering here today at this time is very difficult for all of us, and we all loved my mom very dearly. I'm positive that she's looking down on us and smiling. The thing that reassures me the most is that she's out of pain forever now. Some of my favorite memories about my mom was how funny she was. She loved to dance around the house in her robe or sing it at the top of her lungs in the car. Whether it was to Drake or Rascal Flatts, you could find her dancing. I loved how supportive she was, whether at a basketball game where everyone in the stands knew she was there or holding me tight through hardship. I want to thank my mom for everything she did. I could never thank her enough. She struggled and fought for two hard years, and for that I am very proud of her. She raised a fighter, and I'm going to make her proud in everything that I do. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm Donna. I'm one of Susie's biggest sisters. My little sister Susie, oh, my gosh, I loved her so much. And although I've seen that video and I know the story, I did not know that I was going to walk in here today and see her speaking like she was alive and here today. I wrote a script, but I'm not going to be able to follow it. When I first came to this church, it was after Susie's attack, and we would always sit in the front row. She'd be the one waving her arms. That girl. And being here today, and having her not here down there, Harmony, raise your arms, please. It's very, very difficult. But I know that she's here with me today, just as my other sisters are here with me. When I decided I wanted to speak, I looked up the meaning of eulogy. It says, a speech or piece of writing that praises someone or something highly, typically someone who has just died. And like Harmony, I could stand up here all day and tell you stories and all kinds of wonderful things about my sister. But that's sister stuff, and that's between us. I know that she made a huge impact on so many people's lives. And for that, I am very proud of her. As her obituary stated, she was a devoted wife. She was a loving mother, she was a giving sister, and she was a dedicated friend, which is why you guys are all here. I wanted to come up with my own amazing speech, but I just couldn't do it. It was just too difficult. So in reading tributes and posts about my sister, I found some very common words that described her. She was a role model. She was a light. She was a warrior. She was courageous. She provided hope. And many of us, not all of us, are just heartbroken. Her story and her journey inspired many people, but there were two messages in particular that really spoke to me, that really told what her true character was, and I'd really like to share those with you today. Susan Laney redefined for me what it means to survive cancer. She taught me that surviving cancer does not always mean that one lives, that one is cured, or that the cancer goes into remission. Of course, a cure or remission is wonderful, and that is what we always pray for when a loved one suffers from cancer. But Susan revealed another deeper level of surviving. The cancer did not beat her. She consistently demonstrated courage, optimism, joy, and faith. Her love for her family and friends was diffuse. She claimed the love of her God and her Savior, and that love flowed from and out of her to everyone whose life she touched. Cancer took her life, but her spirit was not, could not be destroyed. She was a fierce warrior. Oh, I imagine she had her private moments of despair, and I think that we can speak for that. She did. She really did. What I can say is that Susan Laney taught us how to live and how to die. She left her handprint on every heart she touched. She lives. Her legacy will be carried on by her devoted husband, Shannon, and her daughter, Harmony. Cancer did not defeat her. Cancer met its match in Susan. I am forever grateful for your example. And to Rich, I thank you for this beautiful dedication. Tribute to my sister. Now, another message I wrote read was about a lady who met my sister over the summer, and she told us about this person, this beautiful lady. And she writes, from Kathy, she writes, "I met a very special woman at Sand Harbor this summer and became instant friends. We talked of having lunch to get to know each other better, but never got the chance. Her name was Susan. And for some reason, we bonded instantly. She was in the fight of her life with cancer, but still had a light in her so strong it pulled me in. I will never forget you, Susie. You are a beautiful soul that will forever shine. God bless you, Susan Laney." But in one of her responses to somebody, you know, the comments on Facebook, thank goodness for social media, because that's the way we see things. She had looked over at this awesome lady standing in the water, holding her paddleboard, trying to get all her stuff on it while the waters came crashing in. And that, to me, was like perfectly describing her on a day at Sand Harbor with her paddleboard. And it made me smile. I love my sister so much, and I miss her so much. And I am so grateful that all of you are here. I always knew that she made a huge impact on so many people, and looking out here is proof of that. So when you're remembering my little sister Susie, because we will never forget, if she taught you grace, be kind. If she taught you courage, be brave. If she taught you faith, then believe. I'm so proud of her, but you know what? I'm really proud of my family because we took care of each other. We all took care of each other, and we'll get through. Thank you.
My name is Glenn Campbell, and I'm an addict. I met Susie and Lisa as kids. We grew up in the same town in Clear Lake and rode bus number one. We'd lost touch for a while, and we said two things brought us back together, God and Facebook. And we found we had a lot in common. We both had sisters that lived in Galt, and I happened to live in Arizona, and she was coming down to visit her son, Austin. And we were both in recovery, and our lives had changed because we found this program in God. She asked two things of me. One, if I would be here today, and the other, to guide Austin. And both of those things are an honor. Austin wrote a letter to his mom and sent it in that last week of her life. It didn't arrive until after she had already passed. But he asked if I would read it here today because he's unable to be here. Thank you to the family for allowing me to do this. Dear Mom, I'm forever grateful that you were able to come visit me. I had a great time, and it was a blessing to see your beautiful face. I love you with all my heart, and I'm deeply sorry that I put you through the pain I have over the years. I cannot take back the past, but you are a great mother, friend, and are my inspiration. You have accomplished so many great things and got through so many struggles. You are the strongest person that I know. I wish I would have been a man and put forth the effort to have a relationship with you all these years instead of listening to my dad and letting him pollute my mind of how bad of a person you were. Once again, he was wrong. I'm glad we had the last few years talking on the phone so I could try to make up for my wrongdoings, even though I still have a long way to go. I will make progress, though, one day at a time. I knew whenever I was feeling down, irritated, angry, or anything else, I could call you and you could put a smile on my face and help me through it. I have obtained greater satisfaction talking to you because you have so much wisdom, insight, and uplifting spirit that I've needed all of these years. This is the hardest thing I have encountered in life. I'll push through it, Mama, and make you very proud every day. I'm stepping up and being the man I should have been. I love you, Mama, with all my heart, and thank you for being by my side through all of this. Your son, Austin Robinson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kim, and I was a friend of Susie's. And everyone in here, I'm sure, has their own Susie story, but I'm just going to share a little bit of my Susie story. I thank everyone for being here. I just wanted to thank everyone for coming to celebrate the life and honor the memory of our beautiful friend, Susie. And I know she's here with us. So happy that so many of her friends and loved ones would come to wish her well and celebrate her life. However well you knew her, or even if you didn't and only heard her story, she was someone you would never forget. Her smile could light up the room, and I really loved to make her laugh. I first met Susie when we were volunteering at Sierra Community Church in the nursery, and she and my Harmony and my son Kyle struck up a friendship. And so one day I was talking to her during nursery and saying something about, oh, well, we'll probably really need a drink after this or something like that. She immediately got really serious and she said to me, oh, I don't drink. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And so her honesty that day really planted a seed in me because I was having some struggles with alcohol. And so I started going to Overcomers Outreach on Tuesday nights, and I loved how enthusiastic and bubbly Susie was and how seriously she took her sobriety and her faith in God. And I remember thinking how beautiful and alive she was, how awesome it was that she had gotten sober and gotten her life and her daughter back. Soon after that, I was working at the hospital at Barton. I work in the pharmacy. And the ER admitted a woman who had been attacked. We didn't know her name at that point because of the HIPAA regulations, but it wasn't expected for her to live. And I prayed for her at that time, not knowing who she was. Later at the Overcomers meeting, I found out that it was Susie. And I was devastated, as all of us were that day. Sorry, my voice is going. We prayed for her, and the community of South Lake Tahoe came together in a really amazing way. Everyone pitched in. We had a spaghetti feed. There was a round-the-clock prayer vigil at Washomed where they care flighted her, and that was after Dr. Bruce Doherty, who was a member here, had made the surgical repairs that were able to get her to renown for them to be able to save her life. Sierra's website was updated daily by Michaela Grant because we didn't have Facebook back then. And every night when I got home from work, I checked that website and I saw what prayer was needed. We prayed for specific things, you know, for no infection, for a surgery to go well. And every day, just prayed every day. And Susie's wonderful family came together to support her at that time. And friends were at the hospital round the clock. And at this, as all of this was going on, I was still struggling to stop drinking. And I thought to myself, you know what? If my friend can get through what she is having to go through right now, I cannot take a drink one day at a time for her and for me, of course. But she was very, very inspirational in my sobriety. So I thank her for that. Always. Never forget that. We had many specific things to pray for, but the one thing that we prayed for was, please God save Susie, because Harmony needs her mom. And so glad that God reached down and saved Susie that day. And through the next 2 months, sorry, I had to write this down. There's no way I was going to remember it. I remember about a year after I got out of the hospital, Susie would bring Harmony over to play with Kyle, and she and I would go to a meeting, and either my husband or my daughter would watch Harmony, and she and Kyle would play together. And I remember one time my daughter telling me about that she had made some broccoli and tried to get Harmony to eat it. So I'm sorry, Harmony, this is my official amends to you. You probably don't remember. One thing that really impressed me is Susie never lost her faith in God. You know, never, that I heard, never got angry at God about what happened to her, just always leaned on him. And I attended Susie's 5-year sobriety birthday meeting, which was awesome. She shared her story and her faith, even though there were some people in the room who had deep resentments against God or just didn't believe in him. And she didn't change her story for anyone. She told her story, and she told about her faith in God. What you saw was what you got with Susie, and that was awesome. She was a real girl. She had bad days. She got angry. She had character defects and problems, just like the rest of us. And I just want to encourage anyone here who might be struggling in any area of your life to just remember that there is help out there for you and that there is a way to beat this thing, and that you can have victory in life. And Susie would encourage you to live your best life now, because you never know how much time you have left. Our friend Allison, Susie and I took Overcomers meetings into the county jail for women to give them hope and a chance at recovery. We all loved it. Susie had such an empathy for suffering people, and She was the first person there to give you a hug and encouragement when you needed it. Susie and I attended the celebration of life for Yasmin Gonzalez Morgado, a woman who was murdered by her ex-husband in the Horizon Hotel. Susie spoke at that celebration, and she took very seriously her role as someone to represent women who were abused. In early 2007, a group of women got together and went to Canada to attend a Christian event. And at the time, I was rooming with Susie and her sister Lisa, and we had a lot of fun and a lot of laughs. And at the time, I remember that one of the subjects we talked about a lot was that Susie was dating this person, and we really did not approve of this guy. And so we didn't think he was a good match for her. So over the course of the weekend, we had a lot of sharing and prayer, and her heart was changed, and she ended up dumping that guy. And as you all know, God had someone much better in mind for her. So they started, Shannon and she started dating after that. She met Shannon that year, her soulmate, an honorable, loyal Christian man who loved her, protected her, and treated her the way a woman should be treated. I believe that he is God's greatest gift to her and to Harmony, who has a great dad she can count on to be there for her. She also got a new brother and sister, Brittany and Brandon Laney, and so they each gained a family. Thank you, Shannon, for being that strong protector, soulmate, lover, and friend to her. She adores you. Susie's family has been amazing. She's been there. They've all been there for her whenever she needed it. And I'm so impressed by their love and their loyalty. Sorry. And they would just give up their lives, you know, whatever was happening in their lives, they'd drop it and they would come and be there for her. And that really, really impressed me. And so I love you guys. Love all you guys. Thank you. You guys always brought light and laughter to her when she was going through her struggles, and I know that that meant so much to her. I remember we went out to Joshua Fest, which was a Christian music festival. Susie and Shannon and Harmony all love Christian music. They used to go. And last year, Donna and Bruce came up and went with us, and even though Susie wasn't feeling all that well, she still would come out and listen to the music. And when she was feeling better, we would go out into the crowd and dance, and Shannon would always stand back, and he'd listen to the music, but he'd always keep his eyes on his girls and make sure that they were safe. So I just pray for God to bless all of us and comfort us at this time that seems so unfair, while we are all crying out to God and asking, why, Lord, why? I heard a story in church one time about a young boy looking up at his grandmother who was doing embroidery. From his view, looking up, all he could see was a tangled mess of thread and knots. Later, when he was older, he was able to look down at the same work from a different view and could see the beauty and the perfect pattern his grandmother had created. From where we are, we cannot understand why Susie had to go, why God called her home so soon. But I know that God's perfect plan is working itself out and that he will use Susie's trials for good. He always promises us that. And for Harmony, she loved you so much and you are the apple of her eye. And yes, all the many Facebook posts, I was going to mention that, always knew what Harmony was up to. So she was so proud of you and she loved being your mom. And I'll never forget Susie sitting in the front row at church, holding her hands high, worshiping, singing, dancing. It was awesome. I joined her there many times, and I know that one day I'll join her again, singing and dancing before the Lord. I hope and pray that you will all join us too. So God bless you all. Thank you for being here as we celebrate the life of this beautiful, faithful, loyal, funny, and fiercely loyal woman. And please, everyone, when the service is over, Harmony wants everyone to have a sunflower because those were Susie's favorite flowers. And so all of these sunflowers up here are all for you to take one home. And there's also some cards in the back where you can share a memory or a funny story about Susie. And I think that we're going to be watching a slideshow now. So thank you for allowing me to speak. I am deeply honored.
I couldn't see how every sign pointing straight to you. That every long, lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed the broken road. Time I lost and give it back to you, but you just smile and take my hand. You've been there, you understand. It's all part of a grander plan that is coming true. Every long lost dream led me to
my, oh my, how remarkable is that? God took that woman way too soon, and I'm bummed. But God chose me as one of the people to be blessed by her being here, and I'm so grateful. I just am. Thank you. What a nice job. You guys were just so awesome. We're running a little long, and I apologize for that, but I have no intention of cutting mine back now. But Who knew Donna was just going to babble on so long? I just, it was amazing. My first recollection of being at a funeral, and I must have been a real little tyke, but I remember this pastor standing up in front, and you know, standing straight up, and he had on this black suit. I remember thinking to myself, geez, mister, you should have asked your mom to iron those pants for you. And I remember I thought at some point, well, this guy must own a horse. I'm not thinking it's a horse hair jacket, but it's just got hair all over it. He looked like maybe just came in from the barn. And, and he has this dour look on his face, like he needs more bran in his diet. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this can't be good. And then it's the thought, well, Rex, grandma laying up there in the box is your first clue that this is not good. This is not going. But so, and then it starts off with words like earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, or something like the Lord's given and the Lord's taken away. And I would find through the years that those were usual words at an ordinary service. But here this morning, I think we can all agree, Susie was not an ordinary woman. So this morning, I want to go with something out of 2 Timothy. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, has given me this day." And even from Psalm 16 that Pastor Roy read for us from Susie's life scripture in verse 15, where it says, "The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. Oh, Lord, I am your servant, born into your household, and you have freed me from my chains." There's reason to celebrate, even in our sorrow. We saw that up there on the screen. But more so because we know that God's promise has been fulfilled. The queen bee got the crown of righteousness. That's just awesome news for us. Do you ever toss toss a rock in the lake or into a pond, and you watch those ripples that just go endlessly? And Susie's life was like that. We were all affected like that. It's remarkable, really, to see how many lives that she touched, because she had a heart for the Lord, and she lived a life that reflected it. And all of us here today were touched at some point by those ripples. We certainly saw the effect of some of those ripples in the video that Pastor Roy showed with us. And just, Harmony, you are your mom's legacy. God's going to keep on giving you pebbles, and you're going to keep tossing them and making ripples just like your mom. You are an amazing young woman. And you've even gotten me believing that 16 is the new 30. But don't grow up too fast. Dad's not going to deal well with that. And this would be the same dad that posted on the day she passed that his wife had been cured of cancer. God had taken her home. Yep. Sir Shannon, you just make a lot of ripples your own self. God bless you. And Kim, nice job, Kim, by the way. You were so worried. But you did mention the flowers, and this is a wonderful way to honor your mom. And I remember we talked about when we met with the family there, and they were talking about, well, Harmony has this idea to give everybody a sunflower when they come in. And my point was, well, no, that's not a good idea, because they'll be holding on to it, and it's more difficult for them to stand up and applaud you when you're done. So, but I think that's sweet that you want to hand those out as folks leave. But it also gives me a chance to share a story with you that kind of explains why we're here this morning. I was told it was a true story, and a pastor told me that, so you just take it for what that's worth. But it had to do with a New York law firm that sent flowers to their sister office in Boston on the occasion of their grand opening. And on the day of the big event, the office manager's walking around, and she's checking out the bouquets, and she's reading the accompanying cards, and she came across a card that read, "Our prayers are with you in this trying time." Well, she's curious enough, and she's got a minute, so she calls the florist, tells him what she found, and the florist became real bummed real quick and explains that, "Right now I have an arrangement of flowers being delivered to a funeral across town, and that card says, 'Congratulations on your new location.'" You know, the grandeur of heaven is simply beyond our comprehension. It's wonderful beyond words. I believe that. And I also believe that Susie waits there for you and me. And so, Susie, sweetie, congratulations on your new location. That's why we celebrate. You know, the Bible's full of passages that inspire and comfort us during stressful times. And one that we're all familiar with is the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The Bible also contains some unusual passages. King Solomon, towards the end of his life, wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes that it's better to spend time at funerals than at festivals. For you're all going to die. And you should think about that while there's still time. He says that that sorrow is better than laughter. Sadness has a more refining influence on us, he thought. And a wise person thinks much about death, while the fool only thinks about having a good time now. So I think Solomon is saying to us that we're more likely to gain insight into life when we're face-to-face with situations like today. Much more so than at a noisy party where the realities are being drowned out. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And he goes on to tell us that the day you die is better than the day you were born. And it's better in the sense that for the believer, that begins our eternal phase. You know, that part that lasts forever with Jesus in heaven. It's the promised day. It's the crown of righteousness day. Susie had that day. Jesus was teaching one day. He says, if anyone comes before me, he must deny himself and make up his cross and follow me. And whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. And then Jesus asks this question. He says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? That's why Solomon said it's better to spend your time at funerals than at festivals, because we're all going to die. Susie is a reminder that life on earth does not go on forever. And hopefully we'll be moved to look below the surface at what really matters today and realize that this isn't it. This is only temporary at best. The thing we call life isn't life at all. The Apostle Paul gave it a name. He called it mortality. Take a look around, because you got to see this when you came up here, and I was thinking when I was sitting over there. And I'd like, especially these people up front, if you're comfortable, take a look around, stand up, and take a look around and see the people that showed that came here today. Wave at somebody. If you see that person you were saving the chair for, and you can see that they finally came in and they ended up standing in the back. Great, wasn't it? Yeah, it's good that you got to see that, because it's awesome. It just is. Thank you for coming out today. But the simple fact is, we all have an expiration date. And there's going to come a day when only one of us are still going to be here out of all the folks we see here this morning. I need to assure you that it's not going to be me. But it is a sobering thought, isn't it? One of us at some point will be left. Human life is such a precious gift from God. And Susie hung on to it with all her might. But it is only temporary. There was a country doctor named Donald Barnhouse. He was ex-Navy, a World War II generation guy. And he was widowed at a young age. And the death of his wife left him alone to care for his young daughter. And he had a tough enough time working through his own grief. But the hardest part was trying to find a way to explain mommy's death to a little girl. One day, the two of them were standing out on a busy street corner waiting for the traffic light to change, and suddenly this huge bus went by, and it blotted out the sun. It just cast a shadow over them, and it surprised them, and they jumped back. And then to comfort her, the doctor reached over and picked up his daughter, and then he just had this wisdom that came through from God. He had this thought that and so he asked his daughter, he says, when you saw the bus rush by, it scared you. Well, Dad, it scared you too. He says, but let me ask it. He says, would you rather have been run over by the bus or by the shadow of the bus? Smart little girl, doesn't hesitate. Quickly, she replied, the shadow of the bus, of course. Today, that would be followed with, duh. And then Dad went on to explain, when Mom died, she was only hit by the shadow of death because Jesus got hit by the bus. That's exactly what Solomon's father, King David, said would be our experience if we believe. Did you catch that when it went by? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then Jesus, our Savior, asked the question. He says, do you believe me? Do you believe what I just told you? And our answer to that is vital this morning. So I hope you heard that. because our answer to that question actually determines whether we get hit by the shadow or whether we get hit by the bus. Susie knew the answer to the question. I'm telling you this morning, as a matter of fact, that Susan Patricia Laney knew that Jesus had stepped in front of that bus for her. There's a sign hanging in every 12-step group that says, keep it simple. And a little ditty that follows along for us to go to those groups, it's keep it simple, stupid. And that doesn't apply just to alcoholics. You can take that with you as you go out into the day. But for some of us, it is too simple. In every aspect of our lives, some of us have this need to overthink it, to intellectualize it. Some years back, there was a television curse. It seems like it was a while, but it was a fundraising commercial for donations for black colleges in the South. And it always ended with that deep, rich tone of James Earl Jones telling us that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Anybody remember that? Well, I've adopted my life motto from that, and I need to have some T-shirts made that say, simply, the mind is a terrible thing. It is. Don't leave me in here alone. Left to my own devices. And now let's figure into the equation that we live in a war zone. We live in Satan's domain. In 1 John, we're told that the battle has already begun. That was over 2,000 years ago. But he also goes on to tell us that have heart. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you've already won the fight. Can't lose. That's good news. Is there bad news? Well, I tend to think so because we're in a war. And just because we can't lose the war doesn't mean we don't fight. You know, and if we're going to fight, we need a firm foundation under our feet. I think that's vital in the battle, and for those of us to believe that foundation is Jesus Christ. Several times since Susie's passing, more than several times since Susie's passing, I have tried to console the unconsolable. I have talked with people who are so lost in their pain and their grief that they had nowhere to turn. They had nothing to hold on to. If they had a foundation at all, it was sand, and that got washed away as soon as the storm hit. On the other hand, we have a grieving husband who proclaims to the world that God healed my wife. He took her home, and all the while, someplace in his broken heart, the angels are singing, "On this solid rock I stand." We are broken people in a broken world, and that's only going to change when Christ returns. Until then, we fight the good fight. Susie showed us how to do that. It's just that the directions she followed are in here. They're available to all of us. And it is simple. It really is. The Bible is either the Word of God, or it's the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on mankind. You know, and there are a lot of folks that think this is just another holy book. The world's full of holy books. But this book, these words have been proven through the centuries to be 100% historically correct. It's passed every test every time throughout time. And this book tells me that there are no mores. The Apostle Paul gave us the list. He says there's no more pain, there's no more night, there's no more sorrow, there'll be no more crying, no more tears, there'll be no more death, because the old order of things has passed away. Susie made that journey through the valley of the shadow of death, and Jesus was at her side. Celebrate today. Why would we do anything else but celebrate Susie today? Please join me as we close in prayer. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself so that we may have eternal life, We do want to take the opportunity to say thank you for the blessing of Susan Laney. We remember Christ's own victory over death and his promise that because he lives, we also live. And so she lives. Comfort our hearts through his words. Strengthen us now with his presence and bless us with an inner serenity and a peace to carry us through the difficult days ahead. We pray that Susie's passing may be the event you use to touch a heart here today and convince them to accept Christ and the promise that comes with that decision. And Lord, until that day when we too rejoice in the kingdom, please tell Susie that we love her, that we miss her, and that we congratulate her on her new location. Amen. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're going to have a reception back in the back, but we need to clear all that stuff out of there. So have you guys had a chance to sample some of the desserts back there? Because that's what you get from coming in late, is that you just got right in that spot back there. But so if you wouldn't mind, we need everybody to get out so we can clear that out and then invite you to come right back in. Sonny and Josh are going to close with a song that holds a lot of meaning to the family, the song Oceans. Sonny sang it to Susie in the hospital after one of her surgeries, and I think it lifted up and carried her through the crisis. And the lyrics seem to paint a picture. You can hear that as they're going through about from Matthew 14, where Peter is called by Jesus to walk on the water. And so he steps out in faith and trust to do that. And Susie lived her life that way. Thank you for coming up today and sharing this celebration with us. God bless you for that. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, oh. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail and you won't start now. And I will call upon your rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, 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 oh. Spirit, lead me where my trust is with. Presence of rise above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.